Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. I'm your host, Minister Gerald Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and doing a little late night broadcast. We're also live on the Prodigal Church Hour. You can call in 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. You can also log in by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/MinisterBigKen65, or you can just go to MinisterBigKen65 and take you right to the podcast, and we are live on the air. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome this Saturday evening. Things are kind of crazy out here in this world we're living in, crazy around the cities, around the nation. And I wanted to kind of touch on, in light of everything that's going on, that we as Christians, and I'm speaking primarily to the Christians, but non-believers as well, if they listen to this, is that we worship a sovereign God. And being that he's sovereign is that he knows everything that's going to happen before it happens, and he also allows certain things to happen, good or evil, bad or right or good, wrong. He allows things to happen in this world, and that's because he can. He's God. He created this world, and he allows things to move according to his timetable. But we must also understand that God tells us in his word in Romans 8, all things work together for the good for those who love him. As believers, it does not matter what we see. It's all about who God is, and he is good. His very nature and character is good, and we want to see from the scriptures on part one of this, the sovereignty of God, and looking at the hand of God and how he moves all through scripture. He shows us that he is totally in control of all things, and that there's nothing happening that should not happen or that he's not allowing to happen. And I think we'll get a biblical perspective if you don't have one, because, you know, right now, there's a divided nation right now. There are people just, you know, out here rioting, some peacefully and some not so peacefully, and some just fly out being heathens and doing the things that God is definitely forbids us from carrying on with. And if there's any Christians out there doing, shame on you. Shame on you for being participants of that. You know, if you're going to protest, you know, do it peacefully. You take your stand and, you know, you don't go out there and cause an insurrection or go out there and try to create property damage or any of those things. So I think it's important for us as the body of Christ, and I pray that this will, you know, be a message that you can share with your friends and families, that they may know that, you know, God is sovereign over all things and that he is in total control. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of that from Scripture. Amen. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. And then let's have a quick announcement, and then we'll get right into this. Amen. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for even allowing us to be here today, Lord, for allowing us to wake up, for allowing us to go to bed, for allowing us to be able to just see and hear and have clarity in our eyes and our ears, Lord. For those of us who have a relationship with you, who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our rock and our Savior, we just ask right now, Lord God, that you would just heal this nation, that you would heal this land, Lord, that you would pour your pour favor out upon us, Lord God, that there would be a revival in America. We pray, Lord God, that this time, Lord, that we live in, Lord, will be a time that people would draw close to the cross, Lord, and take their focus off of mankind and put their focus on the one who died for our sins. It's time for the body of Christ to really truly step up, those who are truly born again, that we may show the character of Christ and not the character of the fallen nature. So, Lord, right now we ask, Lord, that we just surrender our will to you, Lord God, and that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts and minds this evening, Lord, as we prepare for Sunday morning worship. Lord, let us get our hearts girded up, and that we would have a biblical perspective of who you are, that you are sovereign over all things and all nations. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, Amen. Amen. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number, 646-668-8468. I want to invite you, if you're in the Los Angeles area and looking for a Bible teaching church, please come out and worship with us tomorrow morning at Core Church of Los Angeles, www.corechurchla.org. Please, it's located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And you can get all the information off the website, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 services. So if you're looking for a fellowship in the Los Angeles area, please check us out. Also, for us, we need to pray. We need to continue to pray for this nation, pray for our schools, pray for the teenagers, pray for the youth, the adults. It's many people that are disgruntled. Many people are mad. Many people are angry. And I'm sure even some of them profess to be Christians. A Christian should not be mad or discouraged, because once we understand the sovereignty of God, we'll understand God's nature in all things, and that should give us a biblical perspective of what he is doing behind the scenes. Because if we put our armor on, friends, if we keep our armor on, we have to remember God is fighting the battles, and he's using mankind to get his mission and his plan accomplished. And we'll see that from Scripture as we go through this lesson of the sovereignty of God. So with that being said, let's get into it. Let's get into it. I forgot to do my, for those that might not know, you can follow me on Periscope at Minister Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me on Friend Life at Daryl Kendrick or Minister Daryl Kendrick. You can also follow me at Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. And Twitter, dkendricksr65, and Gmail, dkendricksr@gmail.com. I'm working on some other things. There's another format that I will be using to do some other lessons called TalkShoe that I used to use that a few years ago. So I'll be using that again this week, putting some messages there. So, and for those that don't know, you can follow my podcast at Minister Big Ken 65. Over 650 plus growing messages. And next week on Monday, we're going to get back in our book of Proverbs so we can get current on that. We'll be starting a book at Proverbs 25 and reading all the way through and getting that finished up. Hopefully in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be finished with Proverbs. Amen. So I want to invite you to, if you haven't checked out my podcast, please go to Minister Big Ken 65. Just type it in your browser and it'll take you right there. Amen. 24/7 access to that. All right, catch us live or catch us in the archives. So, okay, with that being said, we're talking about the sovereignty of God, and what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean God is sovereign? What does it mean? Because people hear it all the time, and then, you know, we talk about having a sovereign nation. What does God mean that he's sovereign? This is a quote from Chip Ingram, Walk Through the Bible. He tells us, if you were to look up the word sovereign in the dictionary, you would find words and phrases like superior, greatest, supreme in power and authority, ruler, and independent of all others. In its definition, but the way I like to explain, he says, God's sovereignty best is simply to say God is in control. God is in control. As simple as that says, or simple as that, as we say that God is in control of all things, do we really understand that? Do we really, really, really have that in our spirit, in our mind, and in our walk, that God is in total control? That means not only in the creation and the world and everything, the stars, the moon, and everything that's going on, he's in control of all things that's happening. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. But let me not jump ahead. There's absolutely nothing that happens in the universe that is outside of God's influence and authority. Nothing. Nothing. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God has no limitations. Consider just a few of the claims the Bible makes about God. God is above all things and before all things. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is immortal, and he is present everywhere so that everyone can know him, Revelation 21:6. Do we really believe that? Because, see, I think we live in a world, because it's a post-Christian world, look at what people are doing right now. They're out of control, but God is in total control, and he knows what they were going to do before they did it. He knows everything about us. He knows the hair on our head, and I don't have much, but you can count these little ones. God is in total control. God created all things and holds all things together, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Colossians 1:16 tells us that. See, a lot of people don't get that. When we talk about why is it that the oceans don't ever come past a certain point, I mean, the ocean is much larger than the earth realm. The ocean is more water than there is land mass. If God was to unleash the waters, just like we saw back in 2011 with the great tsunami down there in Japan, that was a smidget of what God could do. We see all these movies about what happens when we see that nature just gives up the ocean and just floods. Why is New York not flooded? The Atlantic Ocean is much bigger than the city. God, he holds all things together, both in heaven and in earth. We don't see no stars falling down to the earth. Maybe one every so many years. I think it was a few years back, there was an asteroid that fell down the earth in some place over in the Middle East. God is in control of that. What's keeping them up there? What's keeping the earth from not getting two more, just another few feet closer and we would burn up, a few feet away and we would freeze to death? God put the earth right where it needed to be because he's sovereign. He's sovereign. We see here also that God knows all things past, present, and future. He knows all things past, present, and future. There's no limit to his knowledge. There is no limit to his, for God knows everything completely before it even happens. Romans 11:33. See, God doesn't go around learning new things. He doesn't have to get into the book and start reading and research anything. He is the book. He is the book. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a God that needs to go back to school. He knows all things about all people, about all nations, about everything. He is God. He's not one of many gods. He is God. God can do all things and accomplish all things. Nothing is too difficult for him, and he orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life and in my life, in America and throughout the world. That is so profound and so biblical. Why is the world flipping out right now? Why is the nation flipping out right now? Why are people losing their minds right now? Because they don't know this sovereign God. Friends, if you don't know him, then how can you worship him? There's a reason people are afraid right now who's going to be in the White House, because Christ is not in their house, the spiritual house. And without him, you have no peace, and you're left to move around and want and flake out and lose your mind. But when you have a holy God, a sovereign God, a God that holds all things together, and that his will and plan will be accomplished no matter what we want. God's hand is behind every person and on everything. We have to get that in our spirit. He said, he knows the past, the present, the future. God can do all things and accomplish all things. Nothing is too difficult for him. And he orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life, in my life, in America, and throughout the world, whatever he wants to do in the universe, he does. For nothing is impossible with him, Jeremiah 32:17. Nothing is impossible to him. See, if you've got a God that you can tell him what to do, like I hear some of these false teachers who talk about they can tell God that he's got to jump through this hoop, and he's got to go get them a car, and he's got to get them a boat, he's got to get them, he got to make them well. You know, you're sitting there screaming to an imaginary, some idol or something, telling God, thinking you're going to tell God anything. We're nothing but clay and dirt. We're nothing. God is everything. We don't control. We don't even know where the blood is flowing in our bodies. We don't even know what's going on inside our bodies. But guess what? God knows what's going on in there. He knows if you got cancer. He knows if you got lupus. He knows whatever you got. Because he's God. He's the great physician. So if he's the great physician, why are folks around there telling God what to do? God is in control of all things and rules over all things. He has power and authority over nature, earthly kings, history, angels, and demons. Satan himself has to ask God's permission. The book of Job clearly tells us what God is in control. What God is in control, friends. See, I don't want a God that I can tell him what to do, because what kind of God is that? I don't want a God that's coming to me asking me for things. I want a God that knows what I need, and he's going to make sure that I get what I need and nothing more, nothing less. Because if I get in the way and I want what I don't need, and he was to give me that, woe to me. Sometimes you got to be careful what you pray for, because you keep knocking on the door, Lord, you give me this, and I want this. I want her. I want him. I want that car. I want that house. And you get it, and it become a nightmare and a curse to you. I done heard people when they didn't have nothing, they was fine. As soon as they got a few pennies in their pocket, everybody and their mama come out the woodwork. Man, oh, no, nobody talked to me when I didn't have nothing. That's right. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful that you're asking for riches and gold and diamonds and all these things, material things. How about asking for wisdom? Asking for understanding. Lord, let me have a knowledge of you and know and be content with that. That the peace of God should surpass all understanding. I want what God has for me. Because if he gives me what I need and what I really do, really, really is going to benefit and bless my life, that's going to carry me further along when there's trials and tribulations. Look, you can have a bank account full of money and not have peace or joy or patience or kindness. It can really make you bitter. Bitter. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be miserable with a bunch of stuff. But I don't have my Savior. And I don't have his security. I want that. That's what being sovereign means. It means being the ultimate source of all power. Being the ultimate source of all power, authority, and everything that exists. Only God can make those claims. Therefore, it's God's sovereignty that makes him superior to all other gods and makes him and him alone worthy of worship. Look, friends, you got people around here that was worshiping a political figurehead, whether it was Hillary or Donald Trump. They worshiping man or woman. They ready to lay down their life for these folks, but they're not willing to give their life to the cross of Christ. They're not willing to give themselves away to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's why they're miserable. That's why they're void. They have a void inside of them, because they've been looking for hope for man and not for the King of Glory. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man or woman give in exchange for their own soul? You got folks around the nation, they need counseling now all of a sudden. We're not having class. We're going to have pizza, and we're going to counsel and mentor you. But where's the pastors? How about sending some clergy in there, some people that fear God, that would come in and pray for these people and say, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with the Rock? Have you been born again? See, when you have the sovereign God, you understand that your life is not your own. It's been bought, purchased by Jesus Christ when he went to the cross of Christ. When he went to the cross for your sin and my sin, he paid the debt and he filled the void for those who would trust him by faith. Not by sight, trust him by faith. people need the Lord right now. And you know what? God is sovereign, and he's moving heaven and earth to get people to look to the cross. You're going to have a lot of people in church tomorrow blaspheming, murmuring, complaining because they didn't get their quote-unquote candidate in there, and they forgot the cross of Christ. Instead of praying for whoever's in the White House, they want to pray on him. They want to tear him down. And God calls us to submit to those who are in governing authority, kings and queens. He tells us to submit to them. My, my, my. And you know what I really, the Holy Spirit was telling me this. God is really showing us our hearts through this election. Professing Christians. I'm not talking about the world. The world is who the world is. But professing Christians are some of the ones out there rebel rousing right now and turning corners and acting like that their whole life was founded in a person, founded in a human being. Their focus is so consumed with the person down here instead of Jesus Christ and then crucified. And, you know, God is really showing us what the real heart is, who we really are, the church. Because either we're going to do what God says and understand that he's sovereign and that all things are working together for the good for those that love him. I don't know Donald Trump's heart. I don't. But I know Jesus Christ. And I know that our God is able to save anybody that he wants to save. He could put his hand on anybody and bring them out of darkness and into the light. And as long as I know that there's Christian men around this President-elect Trump, there's Christian men around him, like Ben Carson and his vice presidency, and other men of God that truly love God, that truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then there's hope. Because I believe that, hey, if we say that God can't reach him, then we're saying he's not sovereign. We're saying there's a limit on God. Just as peasants always bow before their king for fear of offending offending the one who had the authority to take their life, God's sovereignty compels us to bow before him. But unlike the corrupt earthly kings who abuse their authority to terrorize their subjects, God rules in love. He loves you and wants the best for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that God always, for the believer, for the church, he has his best. He has the best for us, the best plan laid out. Romans 8:28 promises that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's an amazing promise, not only because it demonstrates that an all-powerful God cares about you and me, but because it cannot be fulfilled unless the one who gives it is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, and all-loving. Hallelujah. Because I would have said the same thing if Hillary Clinton had a woman, that God is still sovereign. You know why? Because God wants to take our focus off of man and put it back where it belongs. Our hearts need to be girded up. We need to be turned back towards the cross of Christ as believers. As believers, we need to be turned back towards the cross of Christ as a nation. And this is an opportunity for America to maybe see a real revival, a true revival take place in this nation where people would fall to their faces and cry out to God for mercy and for forgiveness and repent and turn from their sins and turn to the living God. If we don't believe that God is able, then you don't really believe in the God that is able. You don't believe that he is all-knowing and all-powerful, and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen, Joe. Yes, he can. None of us are beyond reproach. I was told that I was beyond reproach, and God saved me. And I backslid. Went back to the pig pen. I thought I'd never come out of that. Sin is very toxic, it's very alluring, and it's very controlling. But God God can break the chains of anybody. Any lost soul can be converted and drawn when God puts his hand on them. When Jesus Christ comes in and takes over, that person can be redeemed and regenerated. Too many people are counting people out. I've done it before. I know better. See, as we get older, we get a little wiser, and we can see, we have to go back and look at through these lovely pages of scripture and see how holy our God is and how merciful he is at times when he could have took somebody's life, could have took mine. I ask myself often, Lord, why did you let me stay in that pig pen for so long? I would think about you and know that I was in sin. I would know that I was out of order with you. I would know that I was doing wrong, but you didn't kill me. You didn't let me get killed. God loved me, that's why. That's the only thing I can think of to say is that he loved me even when I wasn't loving him. He loved on me. And folks around here right now, not understanding that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anybody beyond God's reach? And if we plan for people, if we truly are giving them, lifting them up and praying that God would minister into their lives and come in and save them, do we know that God is not going to do that to President-elect Trump or even Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or anybody else? Do we know that God is not, that he's not sovereign enough that he could save anybody he wants to save at any given time? I always say I'm the greatest miracle I know, because I know what I used to be a slave to. I am the greatest miracle that I know of. Forget about somebody being raised from the dead. I'm talking about when somebody was dead in their trespasses and sins and the shackles was on them, and God broke the chains. He broke the chains in me. I'm talking about when you're a slave to porn, a slave to sex, and all kinds of those, you know, you just can't stop because you don't think you hurt nobody. But God, amen, Joe, amen, but God, it's time for us to pray, because you're not gonna remove him from the presidency. Trust me, if he's a crook or he's not what he says he is, they'll impeach him. That's what we have we have a political system that allows you to do that when you are so unruly or you're not holding the honor of the presidency. Remember, they got rid of Dixon. They'll get rid of him. Nixon, I should say. Excuse me. Hey, nobody is beyond God's reproach. But God is trying to get us to look beyond. Go here. He says, but God makes that promise, and millions throughout history have testified to his truth. Let me back up. I skipped some. We talked about Romans 8:28. He promises that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's an amazing promise, not only because it demonstrates that an all-powerful God cares for you and me, but because it cannot be fulfilled unless one who gives it as an all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, and all-loving. The promise itself is a testimony to God's sovereignty. But God makes that promise, and millions throughout history have testified to his truth because God has proven his ability to back it up time and time again. Think about the implications of that promise. Because God is sovereign, he loves you, nothing will ever come into your life that he does not either decree or allow. You hear these folks all the time talking about, I decree this. You can't decree nothing, my friend. How you going to decree what God is doing? Folks on TV talking about, I decree that God is going to give you a blessing in 24 hours and give millions of dollars to, what? This was a year of debt cancellation. What? When did that happen? Wait a minute. Ain't they been saying that for about 20 years on TBN and on other TV stations? This is a year of debt cancellation, and folks still got debt. Christians. The only ones getting paid, friends, is the ones that's pimping you on the pimping you from the pulpit, promising you something. But guess what? You making sure they don't have no debt. Why? Because you're giving them your hard-earned money. When God ain't spoke to them, they said God said this was a year. They decreed it. They declared it and decreed it. That's what they say. But when God decrees something, guess what? It's going to happen. You can bank on that. Just like he says, one day this earth is going to burn and melt away with fire. That is a decree and a declaration of truth. One day, Jesus Christ is literally going to come back to this earth. We're coming back with him. The church, the bride, the ecclesia, we're going to be back with him. That is a 100% fact, Jack. Because God is sovereign, he loves you, nothing will ever come into your life that he does not either decree or allow. Consequently, no matter what you face in life, you can take comfort in the fact that God is sovereign. Friends, I'm telling you, just reading this is moving me. You know why? Because I understand that even sometimes when we have relationships break up, maybe a spouse left you, God was sovereign in that. Sometimes you're doing all you can to love and do your part. Men are called to love their wives like Christ loved the church, and women are called to do what? Submit to their husbands. And if we're both doing our part, there shouldn't be no problem. But you can do your part and the other person don't want to do their part. God's sovereign hand says, all right, I'm going to remove that person from your life, and I'm going to one day put you with somebody that will follow you or you can follow. God's sovereignty. God's sovereign hand. So we need to realize from the scripture what God is trying to say to us. Today there is a growing departure from the historic Christian doctrine. Oh, yes, friends, people are taking flight when it comes to the sovereignty of God because they want a God. They can decree and declare everything they want, but God hasn't spoken on these things, and we're going to find out why. They're not prophets. They're making a profit. A tragic product of this departure is that most Christians have a lost focus or have no knowledge of the sovereignty of God. When I say historic Christianity, I'm referring to the absolute truth that God has delivered to us through the scriptures. Today, we are seeing the scriptural warning of false doctrines that will infiltrate the faith in the last days. These teachers will put people's focus on the worldly things, not on heavenly things, and will even deny the power of the Lord. The sovereignty of God is not a secondary issue, but a completely foundational to everything we stand on. If God is not sovereign, how can I trust him with every part of my life? Answer that question, friends. Would you trust a God that's not sovereign? Now that we understand what the sovereignty of God means, that he's all-knowing, but he's also a God that he has set things in motion according to his plan and purpose, that we cannot go against that. Even when you think you're going against it, God is still, his will be accomplished. This is something that people don't get, though. When I say sovereignty, I'm referring to our God who is all-knowing, in total control, and has the absolute right to do all things according to his good pleasure. There are countless false teachers today that contradict God himself and claim their word has more power and their doctrine overrules God. Woo! What blasphemous. What blasphemous. I'm ducking and dodging when I hear people say that. I don't want to be nowhere near your company, friend, because that is so, so dangerous. For the sake of time, I can't go into every area of these teachings in this study, but I do want us to focus on the control of God. Recently, we had an in-depth conversation with a man who teaches the dominion of Satan. He could not provide any scripture references, but this doctrine goes something like this. God created man and gave him total dominion over the earth. Satan deceived man into sinning and therefore took man's domain away from him. Now Satan is in total control and has total dominion on the earth, and God is on the outside looking in. Oh, you're killing me, Larry. Are you serious? As funny as that is, or as bizarre as that is, people really think that Satan is really in control down here. When we say he's the God of this world, friends, we're not talking about he's the God of the gods or God of all creation or over the Almighty. But you got people that believe that. You got people that teach that heresy, that God had to ask permission to come back into the earth realm. What? You know who told them that lie? Do you know who told them that lie? I'll give you one guess. Satan. Satan told these fools that lie. The very one that they say in control, that's who they listening to. He told them that lie, and that's why they believe this lie, and that's why they're teaching this lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and that's what they're teaching it from. Doctrines of demons, because they're under false spirits. That's why they can manipulate people. Because, see, guess who gave them money? Satan himself. He building up his kingdom through them, because that's all they're living for is the things down here. They don't care nothing about heaven. They don't believe in it. Heaven is a fantasy to these folks, these false teachers. That's why they're so busy trying to declare and decree and get all they want down. And you need to, wouldn't you like to have the FedEx man bringing you a check every day? No, man, I want Jesus Christ to talk to me daily. I need Jesus in my life every day. I don't need the FedEx man come and deliver me money. I don't want nothing that's going to get my focus off the King of Glory, like some people right now, losing their mind. They forgot we had a sovereign God, or they just never knew because they don't know him. Pray there's nobody here right now that doesn't know him. And if you don't know him now, before the end of this message, you will know him. You have to make a decision. Is Jesus going to be Lord of your life for the rest of your life? Or are you going to keep on trying to have some, trying to fill a void through this world system instead of getting into the Lord and the Lord coming into you? We see here, though, God created man. This lie was God created man and gave him total dominion of the earth. Satan deceived man into sinning and therefore took man's domain away from him. Now Satan is in total control and has total dominion over the earth, and God is on the outside looking in. God lost man to sin and his right to the earth as well. Now Satan is the God of this world and has total dominion over it. Man dropped the ball and Satan took it. Lies, lies, lies from the pit of hell. Oh, that's a lie. There are some variations of this doctrine. Some say that God deceived Satan out of it again through Jesus, and some still believe Satan has control. Look at some of your big-time false teachers that come on some of these TV programs that teach this doctrine, if you want to call it. It varies from teacher to teacher, but they all tell you, or you even hear them say that Jesus had to go into hell and he was tortured for 3 days by demons. I don't see where even Satan is in hell. So where are they talking about? What Bible are they reading? Oh, that must be the book of confusion, book of lietations. My friends, we live in a false world. We live in a very deceptive world with a lot of deceptive teachers. There are many flaws with this teaching. To do a lot of reading between the lines, get Satan in a position of authority. More important than this is that these teachers fail to realize that Satan cannot take what man did not own. Man never had ownership of the world. That's number one. But rather, he was a steward or a caretaker of God's creation in the garden. God is the Lord, and man was given the privilege to preside over it. Ownership belongs to God and has always, always belonged to God. God made this very clear throughout Scripture. In Psalm 50, verse 12, God says, "The world is mine and all its fullness." If God did not own the world, he could not have judged the complete moral bankruptcy of man by flooding the world. Hallelujah. They forget that part, right? Oh, it was Satan's world, but God came along and he sent Noah to preach for 120 years. He preached a message of repentance, and man didn't want to repent. That's why only 8 people got on the ship. And when he closed the door, they realized that God was sovereign. God says the world is his and all its fullness. If God did not own the world, he could not have judged the complete moral bankruptcy of man by flooding the world. When God provided the children of Israel the inheritance of their promised land, he made it clear that it belonged to him and he was entrusting it to him, to them. The land had to remain in the family. Notice this, friends. Your children don't even belong to you. Let me let you in on that. Do you think your children are yours? Your children don't belong to you. Your house really don't belong to you. Your cars, your cat, your dogs, your parakeets, none of that stuff belongs to us. We don't belong to our mothers or fathers. They're just caretakers, stewards. Some good, some bad, some in between. But all in all, we don't own nothing. We own nothing. We don't even own our own lives. Even when we was dead in our trespasses and sins, we own nothing. Because how can a dead man own anything? He's dead in his trespasses. He didn't even own your sin. Sin was whooping us. Sin was taking us around the block. Sin had us on a chain like a dog. God tells us about that, how a slave would be sold in the year of Jubilee. It always went back to the family of the original inheritance, or land would be sold in the year of Jubilee. The people did not have the right to transfer ownership because they were not the owners. God also warned that if they abandoned him and rejected his commandments, he would drive them out of the land. To abandon God is to abandon God's blessing. The blessings belong to God and are enjoyed with fellowship with him. Notice this, friends. You remember all through history, if you read through the book of the Old Testament, especially the first five books, remember God told Israel that these were commandments they must hold to. It was 14 commandments of the blessing, and then from 15 all the way down to about 73, this is a rejection. This is what happens when you don't obey me, when you don't follow my instructions. These are the judgments that you'll have to experience. We're going to see this all through scripture, friends. It's going to open your mind and your eyes up to the fact that we're not in control of nothing. And that's the problem with man. That's why people right now have no hope. They have their eyes are not focused on spiritual things because they have no God. They have no God. The God that they worship is man or Satan. It's the flesh, the devil, and the world. And when they don't get what they want, when they don't get the things that they want, what do? They go berserk. They lose their mind. That's why the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to be sane in an unsane world, you must be born again. Sex ain't going to fill that void. Drugs ain't going to fill that void. Alcohol ain't going to fill that void. Money ain't going to fill that void. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can help you when you're feeling hopeless. Hallelujah. Under this modern false teaching, God is turned into an opportunist, looking for loopholes to get his will in when he can. And this is what the false teacher does. They make God out that he needs to try to get his favor with us. In other words, he has to please us now. No, God don't go around. Who is the God in the relationship? It's stupid, right? It's crazy as it is. But look at some of these folks. I challenge you guys this week. Just go to TBN and listen to some of these false teachers. Listen to what they promote. Look at how look how they water down Jesus, or they make him out to be some kind of cotton candy machine or Cracker Jack. He's just weak. He's always a weak savior. He's not in control of nothing. False teachers love to promote that Jesus because that Jesus is here to please them. This completely goes against scripture. God will never honor the teachings of anyone who rejects his word, and those who are following false teaching are committing the same sins. This is why the Bible warns us so strongly. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, 1 John 4:1. God will never contradict his word. The Bible goes on to warn that false apostles transform themselves into apostles of Christ so that they can do what? Deceive you. They come to deceive you. They do so too because Satan does the same. He masquerades himself as an angel of light to deceive. They have authoritative words and convincing arguments so that the only way to know that they are evil is by comparing them to the word of God and looking at the fruit they produce. Always test the fruits. How do you love me? Where's your joy? I did a message on that this week, unquenchable joy. Where's your peace? Where's the self-control? Self-control is one of the biggest ones because people seem to be out of control. Out of control Christians aren't walking in the spirit. And if you live an out of control life with no self-control, that means you're not born again of the Holy Spirit. You got a new spirit. You got a seducing. You got a deceiving spirit. You're walking around here under the sky trying to come in stealthily like one of Satan's children, trying to pretend you one of the brethren, one of the sisters, but you're really a false brother, a goat trying to pretend to be a sheep. The sovereignty of God is not a dispute over doctrine, but the foundational issue of Scripture. If God is not sovereign, then he is not worthy of our worship. If God is not in total control, then I cannot trust him with every part of my life. If God does not have authority over my life, God can't direct everything according to his purpose. God is not all these things, then we are calling him a liar because God himself makes these claims. Satan may be called the god of this world, little g, of this world, but God says that all authority is granted by him. He raises one up and casts down another. Remember, friends, Satan was talking with God when the whole deal or the conversation was going on with him and Job. And he was asking him, he said, if you remove the hedge from him, and I'm sure he was saying it very humbly because he knows who God is. I'm sure he was speaking with a humility. But Jesus, the Trinity was there, but they're all saying, wait a minute. He's saying, if you remove the hedge of protection around him, he's going to curse you to your face. God, knowing everything about Job and knowing all of our hearts and what we'll say and how we'll fall, he knows if we could handle that kind of test, and he knows those that can't. He knew Job could handle it. He knew Job would remain faithful. He knows what you and I can handle, but he knew what Job could handle that day. He knew that Job would never curse him, would never walk away, or never basically speak evil against God. He knew that. Satan may be called the god of this world, but God says that all authority is granted by him. He raises up and casts down another and all work to fulfill his purpose. Can we trust any teacher that says that God is less than God tells us he is? Any teacher that challenges the power of God will be judged, and the Bible warns that those who follow will be judged with them. The Bible says that God has all authority and power, and he will not share his glory with any other. How can anyone who have arrogance, the arrogance to take this glory and give it to Satan? Oof, some of these false teachers out here, man. Man, what blasphemy they do. I heard one guy, and I'm going to say his name. Kenneth Copeland had enough to say that Jesus Christ was God was the greatest failure of all because he allowed Adam and Eve to fall. No, Jesus Christ is God, my friend. He's not a God. He's not a prophet. He's God, the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. But we'll talk about that another time. So we see this, that you have false teachers who basically will bring God down low on man's level or even below man in the sense that they basically say that Satan has more authority than God. Now, still call God God, but they're not bowing down to Satan, but I don't get how you do it because if he's less than God, if he's greater than God, then who's in control then? That means Satan in control, but you're not worshiping him. You're basically going to God, but I don't get it. That makes no sense, right? It don't make no sense to me. So I'm going to stick with the scripture, right? So scripture always confirmed that, hey, God is in control. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Only when you can stand in awe of God, you can understand that God is able to make your path and design it perfectly. Only an omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign God could orchestrate your path and work all things to your good as he has promised. I want to finish this study by turning our focus away from the error and look at the trustworthiness of our sovereign God. To make this study memorable, I'm going to use the acronym PL. PL. We're going to have a part two of this, I promise you. But, this is some good stuff, friends. I hope y'all enjoying it. Please. Oh, 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. 646-668-8468. You can call in and listen if you're in the United States. Also, you can go back and listen in the archives anytime on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Minister Big Ken 65, and you'll see this uploaded after you finish. After you finish. And so you can, this PAN is the acronym we're using. So you can remember that because God is in control. You can just trust in his plan for your life. The P stands for plan. God has a perfect plan for everyone's life. Each time we lose sight of that perfect plan and quit pursuing God's purpose for us, we get tempted to step outside of God's will and abandon that plan. Each time we step out of God's will and interject our own plan, we fall short of God's perfect design. Because God is sovereign and he can see tomorrow and perfectly designs every moment of our life, not just tomorrow, because he sees 20 years down the line. He sees 40 years down the line. He sees 1 million years down the line. So God is sovereign over time, space, and everything else. He knows all, he sees all. He's not limited. He's not sitting there thinking, I wonder what they're going to do next. No. He's not sitting there from heaven like Macaulay Culkin said, oh, no. No, he's not doing that. God's not doing none of that. But he's total control. Total control. Because God is sovereign and he can see tomorrow and perfectly designs every moment of our life, when we quit walking by faith, we begin to think that we can do better and know better than God. That's always the believer's problem, friends. We get off of the cross instead of being crucified on the cross. We must be nailed on the cross daily. When we're on the cross, friends, we can see God. When we're off the cross, we're in our own way. We're in our own way. We need to understand that God is sovereign. He's in total control. Nothing's happening in America or all around the world that God doesn't know about or doesn't have any influence in it. And that's the biggest problem with man's thinking, is to think that we can outthink and understand the mind of God. None of us are going to understand his will and have a clear understanding of how God is operating, because we don't know the beginning from the end, but he does. He knows what's in the middle. And I'm reminded of what happened with Joseph. Remember Joseph closed out, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. We need to file that in our memory bank and write it on the walls and write it in our Bibles. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Whether it's an election of a president, whether it's another government official, whether whatever's going on in the world, friends, whatever somebody is doing to you they meant for evil, God meant it for good. He uses those things to shape and mold us, to conform us into his image. He uses those times when we're hurting and going through to draw us back to him, because God will use our pain and turn it into pleasure as we focus on his purpose. As we focus on his purpose. And God's purpose is always for spiritual growth. He wants us to grow and mature, and he'll use circumstances that we can't even comprehend. Somebody might hurt us bad, to get our attention, but that's to draw us back to God. God wants to be the first and the last in our life. He doesn't mind you having a husband. He doesn't mind you having a wife, but he wants you to put him in his proper place because he's sovereign. We put him numero uno daily. God can work in our life. We get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord. We get up in the morning. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to have a fellowship with you. Lord, help me. God is saying, are you going to follow me no matter what? Are you just going to follow me when things are going well? You got a pocket full of money, a house, a car, and all this stuff around. Then you don't want to talk to me no more. My, my, my. You can't say amen, just say ouch. Because God is sovereign, he can see tomorrow and perfectly designs every moment of our life. When we quit walking by faith, we begin to think that we can do better and know better than God. In reality, we cut ourselves short each time we bypass God's plan. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Do we believe that plan? Do we believe that God's plan is greater than our desire or our will, what we're pursuing after? O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. This is what Jesus said about his own people in Matthew 23:37 when he went to Israel, and Israel rejected him as the Messiah. They didn't want an earthly king. Excuse me. They didn't want a savior. They wanted someone to sit on the throne. So when he wasn't there to do that, he came to die for sinners. They didn't want that. They couldn't receive him as that. They wanted somebody to topple Rome. To take over Rome, to knock Rome down. They wanted earthly. They was looking at the earth and not at the heavens, at glory. We do the same thing here in America, right? Are we not dealing with the same thing? People not looking for heaven and eternity. They're looking for what's down here for me. I need a better this. I need a bigger that. I need more money. I need this. How about getting God first and letting him direct your path and give us exactly what he wants us to have? I believe if America, all America, just repented and cried out to God for mercy and grace, God would just bless our socks off. He would just pour out blessings upon us. If the whole of all of America just repented and just cried out and said, "Lord, I surrender," and all was thinking with one mind and one accord, what could God do in our lives? He's sovereign. He says the same cry goes out to you. The same cry that God, that Jesus Christ said when he stood on the Mount of Olives and he cried out for Jerusalem. God calls, saying, "How I long to gather you under my wings, America. How I long for you to repent and turn back. Or turn to your first love. You've had the Bible for 200 years. Where's your faith, America? Where's your hope, America? Where's your love for me, America?" Don't you see Jesus is calling America to repent? The sovereign God of all creations, the one who spoke it into existence, is calling America to repent. He's crying out for her to repent before he removes his grace. People will not, though. He says, let me go back here. He says, the same cry goes out to, that was in Matthew 23:37. God calls saying, "How long to gather you under my wings and fulfill in you my purpose, but will you come? America, will you come? Will you come to the cross? Will you come and be forgiven and be washed, that your sins could be made white as snow, that you could be redeemed and you could be forgiven and you could be made a new creation?" Most people will not. They run from God's plan, even though their own plans always fall short. We are unwilling to sacrifice our own desires, even though we see the promises of God extend. God designed you and me as an exact fit for his eternal purpose. Psalm 139 tells us that God formed our inward parts and has knitted us together in our mother's womb. He fashioned the days and designed the path for our future before we ever had a day on earth. Do you see this right here, friends? This tells us that abortion is murder and nothing less, because God says, I created you in your mother's womb. I knitted you. I made every vessel in you. I put every tendon and vein in your body. And for man to come along and say, this is an inconvenience to me. How dare they make me want to have a baby, and I don't want to have no baby. I want to play. I want to lay. I want to do all the things that I enjoy, but don't put this burden on me. And my God says, I knitted you in your mother's womb. Formed our inward parts and has knitted us together in our mother's womb. He fashioned the days and designed the path for our future before we ever had a day on earth. He had a purpose for you and me. He had a purpose for Lorna. He had a purpose for Joe and those on Periscope. He had a purpose. If you don't see your purpose, it's because you're not in your Bible following God's plan. You got to know the one that laid the plan out. You got to know his plan for you. The plan he had in Jeremiah. I know the plans I had for you to prosper you. Now, if we're doing God's plan, ain't that better than our plan? Because if God prospers you, you're going to be prospered. I don't care what it was that he gave you. It could be silver, gold, or money, but it could be better than that. It could be something way better than that. You ain't going to be saying, oh, God, is this all you gave me? Now, you're going to be complaining and murmuring, not if you're a believer. He fashioned the days and designed the path for our future before we ever had a day on earth. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Psalm 139:17 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. God put so much thought, detail, and planning in every part of your life that if you could count God's careful thoughts, it would outnumber the sand of the earth. Wow. You imagine trying to think God, count God's thoughts if he was to lay them out. It's a lot of people on this planet, right? It's a lot of things going on at all different times in all different areas, all four corners of the earth. And in the oceans, God sees everything. His mind is calculating way faster than ours because he knows what whales are doing and what every little fish, sea creature, and everything. He knows all about sea life. He's the OG, Jacques Cousteau. He knows what's happening on the moon. He created it. He knows every part of the moon, how big it is, what's making it light up. He lit it up. He knows what's going on in the sun. He ain't going to get burnt if he goes sit up on top of the sun. It's his house. He can sit up on the sun or the moon or wherever else he wants to sit on. He's God. He's sovereign. He's not limited to his earth. See, that's another thing. Now, you think about this. These false teachers going around telling you that God had lost dominion, that's saying that God couldn't even move the sun where he wanted to or move the moons or the stars. He can't come to the planet that he created. He can't come down here and do nothing down here because Satan owns this? What? See, it makes no sense. You try to think about that, and it's just another. It'll keep you up all night. That would keep you up all night trying to say, wait a minute. Satan has dominion over God, so they say. And since he has dominion over God, then God don't have control. Satan got control, but yet God is still going around blessing the world and doing things. And wait a minute, he's omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing, but Satan is limited. He can't go everywhere. He has dominions that go out different places, but he can't be in all places at all times. But that's what these false teachers tell you, right? When we don't believe God's plan is perfect, we will not trust him to fulfill us. And that's where discontentment comes in, my friends. Discontent. When you think that you don't have what the next person has, and you start to look at them and envy them because you think that there's something better that you should have besides what you already got. If I got Jesus, friend, and I'm focusing on knowing more about him, and I barely know, I can't scratch the surface. If I was just to have a little speck, I ain't even touched him. I know so little. But I thank you, Lord, just keep me humble that I'll be hungry for you, see, for you. I don't want nothing to come between me and you, Lord. That's what humility will do. It keeps you in a place where, Lord, I just want to know you. I just want to be a servant. I surrender to you. I don't want to be how my will be done. Your will be done in everything. That's what the sovereign God is calling me to do. See, I'm not going to lose my mind focusing on who's the next president. I want to lose my mind to Christ. Lord, hey, let me get into your word and know you. Let me see what you got to say to me, Daryl Leroy Kendrick. But when we don't believe God's plan is perfect, we will not trust him or be content to in him to fulfill us and fill that void. We also will not trust him when we go through trials and tribulations. As Christians, we are never promised that life will be pain-free. Never. I don't know where these false teachers get this doctrine that Christians living a pain-free life, we're not going to have no worries, and we're not going to have no sickness, no disease. What planet are they on? There's hospitals all over the nation full of sick people. How can you say there's not sickness in the world? Well, God, he died for sin. He eradicated. There's no diseases on here. Oh, there's no diseases. Then I guess these people just in the hospital for a vacation. Really? We don't read our Bibles. I don't see nowhere in the Bible that says I'm guaranteed healing. Matter of fact, Paul lets us know clearly that he begged the Lord 3 times for God to remove this infliction that he had. It was a pain in his side. We don't know what it was, but we know one thing, that God told him, my grace is sufficient. Oh, you'll be all right. Oh, I felt some pains before. I'd have had a toothache out this world. Woo, how many of y'all had a toothache? I want to know if anybody ever felt that before. That was worse than my heart surgery. I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, I had a toothache. It felt like my face was aching, my eyes was aching, my ears were aching. Everything on my body felt like it was going to fall off. I kid you not. I believe that God can heal. I was popping Tylenol. I was popping all kinds of things to try to keep that tooth from. It was infected. It was all kinds of stuff going on in there, and I'm trying to put stuff down in there, and you know, it was a hole in my tooth, and it was very pretty painful. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I set my Bible on my jaw, and I got some sleep. I set my Bible. I prayed and said, Lord, if it be your will, please take this pain away from me. And I went to sleep somewhere in the middle of the night. Woo! My Lord. I tell the sister that at the church, I said, hey, I had one of them toothaches before. And sister, when you don't have no dental insurance, or if there's nothing you can do, you can't do it till the next morning, you need some relief. And sometimes you got to get real spiritual and say, Lord, you set your Bible. Get your Bible and set it right on the pane. Take it away. Take it away, Lord. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, yeah. We got to know that God is in control. He's sovereign. He is sovereign. Amen. Toothache ain't no fun. There's no way to refine. Let me back up. As Christians, we are never promised that life will be pain-free. What we are promised is that God will use everything together to bring out the good in our lives and shape us for the future. God compares trials to refining gold. There is no easy way to refine gold. It must pass through the fire. As gold melts, the impurities float to the top and are removed. Fine gold is refined many times. The gold can be left unrefined, but it does not have much value. What is God saying to us, friends? That he's trying to refine us, children. His bride, he's trying to refine us through the fire, refine us fire. He wants to burn off that impurities so that we will shine. He wants to burn off all that sin in our lives. He wants to burn off those things that keeps us hindered down here, that's keeping us focused on earth and not on heaven. Our friends, if we could just preach to some of these folks out here trying to march and trying to find peace, and they're trying to find peace in what? Some man or some woman or something other than the Prince of Peace. Jesus. Jesus gives us peace. He says, this is why that white gold has greater value than the unpurified or the gold that hasn't been purified. It's not until it goes to the refiner's fire that it comes out shining the best. God's going to put us in the fire pit. He's going to burn off those things. He's going to take us through the portal of regeneration and transfer. He's getting off these. That's what our sanctification is, friends, a constant burning off. And the old man is being crucified daily. We're constantly being shaped and molded. Maybe we fall at sometimes. Maybe we go through some things where we fail God. But guess what? God keeps picking us back up and says, all right, my son, my daughter, did you learn from that? And if you learn, it's time for you to get back up and follow me. Pick up your cross. There's no religion, my friend. You can't have this peace. You can't go through this refiner's fire process without knowing the Prince of Peace, without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just talking about I know God is not going to get it. What do you know about His Son, the Savior, the one who came down here from heaven and died on Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin? Who took your sin debt? Because if you're saying that you're born again or you have a relationship with God, but your sin hasn't been dealt with, who took your debt? Who pardoned you from the death sentence that you and I so rightly deserve? Many people trying to get into heaven with their sin. And God said, you're not getting in. Unless my son died for your sin is still on you. Unless my son has forgiven you of your trespasses and healed your soul, you're not getting in. White gold is much better than yellow gold. Unknown to those of ancient times, when gold is purified to perfection, it loses all color and becomes transparent. This was unknown until modern technology made this possible. However, the Bible described this 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, describes heaven. We are told that the walls of the New Jerusalem were pure gold like clear glass, and the streets were pure gold like clear glass. The kind of purity is what God is trying to complete in our lives. And only in the center of God's will can God shape us and mold us. Only. None of us are going to get access into heaven without bag and bag of religion. We must be born again. We must be purified, and only one that can purify us is the love of Jesus Christ, His personal relationship. We must be redeemed. We must be born again. Those who do not trust God will reject God's plan at the first sign of trouble because they have not grown spiritually to the point of not acknowledging God and submitting to His eternal purpose. They get angry when trials hit. We also live in a fallen world, and pain comes into every life. But only the Christian who is following God has the promise that He will use it for good. People who look at God as a cosmic genie expect to be exempted from the pain or protected from trials. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, John 13:33. Because he has overcome and we are following his plan, we have peace knowing that God will turn the tribulation into good. Oh, man. Y'all feeling this? Are you seeing the holiness of God, the sovereignty of God, that in all things, everywhere around the world, he knows all things. He has already laid out a map of how things is going to run, and he's in full control, ministering throughout, and his plan will not come back void. It's not going to come back void. It's not going to come back void. I'm going to do the last letter here from when the plan is the acronym we're going on, plan. We'll deal with L right here, and we'll finish it up there. We'll come back tomorrow and finish up the next 2 points, which will be A and N. But y'all getting this, man? This is some good stuff. This is good stuff. Let's look at L, God's love. God's love. Everything that God brings into our path is out of his love for us. God's plan for our life is fashioned for our benefit, his glory. The two work together and can't be separated. It always benefits us to glorify God. Even prayer was designed for our benefit. God already knows what we need before we ask, Matthew 6:8. He already knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, Jeremiah 17:10. He also already knows our tomorrow because he fashioned it for us. The purpose of prayer is not for God's benefit, but for our own benefit. Prayer, thanksgiving, and praise conditions our hearts and opens our eyes to God's majesty, purpose, and blessing. Prayer is how God communicates to us. It is during the long walks in the woods that we are able to soul search, to examine our lives and lay it before him. I am able to bring more concerns before him and be confident that he hears my prayer is what aligns myself with God and his will. We don't need to seek God to make changes or to change his mind, but we need to seek to move ourselves into his will. We need to put ourselves in God's will. In other words, Lord, I surrender. I just want you to put me where you want me to be. Use me as you want me to be used. Too many people going around making choices and then coming back and talking to God. I've done it. We all have done it. But this is where we need to look at, okay, if that's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. If this is the Lord's will, I'll move back to Texas or somewhere in a few years, if that's his will. I don't know what God is calling, what direction he wants me to go. But I do know one thing, he's sovereign. And if I try to do something that does not line up with his will, it does not work out. See, this is what when you say, I prayed about this thing. I prayed and I prayed. Okay, was it God's will? That's the question we have to ask. Was it God's will? Praying about something and your prayer not being answered, or the door is not opening to that which you prayed for, or you're not being given clear direction to go through that door, then you need to know without a doubt it's not God's will. So it's not part of his plan. One of my phones is going dead, friend, so I'm gonna cut it off right here because I don't want to break. I don't want to break in the middle. So I always have a problem with that. It wasn't fully charged. So, but we'll go ahead and cut off right here, and we'll stop and bookmark this, and we'll come up tomorrow. We'll finish part two of the sovereignty of God. I pray that this has ministered to you like it's ministered to me. But I'm really, really, really excited about how God is going to shape our perspective over this. And you can go back and listen. Don't be hesitant to go back and listen on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Minister Big Ken 65 or go to the Facebook Live or even Periscope. You can go back and listen. But with that being said, let's close up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for showing us your sovereignty, your plan, and your precepts, Lord. Thank you for loving on us, Lord. Thank you for giving us the hope that when it seems hopeless, Lord, sometimes we don't feel you. But thank you, Lord, that it's not about how we feel or about our emotions. It's about the cross of Christ and the fact that you cannot lie. Yeah, that God has spoken, decreed it, and it will come to pass. So, Lord, right now we just lift you up, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and honor and glory this day. And may we decrease and may you increase and may your spirit give us sweet sleep tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Yeah, one of my phones went off before I was able to finish. That's all right. Hey, Facebook, thank you guys for hanging out. I know it's late in some of your areas. 10:21 here, so we're going to go ahead and close it off. But I want to, again, invite you guys, if you're praying for this ministry, to continue to pray. And if it's in your ability to reach out and help us, please go to the GoFundMe account. Also, if you're in the Los Angeles area, again, you're looking for a Bible teaching church, check us out, Core Church LA, www.corechurchla.org. Please pass that on to your friends or family that might live out here that's looking for a Bible teaching fellowship where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And please just encourage them to find a Bible teaching church, if not where I'm at, but somewhere else where they can grow. Let it be known that you can reach out anytime to me on Facebook, Instant Messenger, and share these messages, share this link. Just go to Minister Big Ken 65 and it'll take you right to the website, the Prodigal Church Hour. Hey, I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Till we meet again, have a good night.